This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director. Going to be talking about the Hutterite communities in the Midwest with Jason, Cindy, Glenda, Junia. You call themselves the Nine. We have four of you here. And you've written a couple books, I guess, first of all, that is all about the Hutterite community and why you left. But first of all, give us an idea. You were at Barnes & Noble's last Tuesday signing the book and that, but you've been doing this for at least a year or so that I know now. Who can explain to me what a Hutterite community is? Most of you are from Manitoba, I believe, right?
Two of us are from Manitoba here. Two are from a colony in North Dakota.
And there's Russian Hutterite communities we know around South Dakota, farming communities I guess Scotland, South Dakota is one location that comes to mind, and there's quite a few. And they settled here quite a long time ago.
Yeah, they came over here. All the Hutterites came over here in 1874 from Russia. It started out with about 400 of them, and now they're about close to 50,000 Hutterites spread across the prairies up into Manitoba and Alberta.
Do you network, get together for conventions or anything like that?
Well, we're not Hutterites anymore, so.
I mean, as far as how do they organize? Are they all separate colonies, or are they somewhat of a larger group?
The Hutterites are split into three different groups. They're called the Schmiedloid, the Lerloid, and the Lerloid. So
Dariusloid,
sorry.
Now, some people confuse them with the Amish, I guess. What are the differences or the similarities between Hutterites?
Well, they all wear, like, the Mennonite, the Amish, and the Hutterites. They wear their dress and the head coverings, and the men have their pants and suspenders and beards. But with the Hutterites, they believe in the community living, and they have more of the technology, where the Amish, they still have, some of them, I guess, have the horse and buggy. And then a Hutterite colony is set up with they have their leadership, which is like two ministers, the money boss, the farm boss, and elders. But it's more, you have to ask. Everything is controlled by the leadership, where, like, even with the Mennonite, the Amish, they still have their own jobs, their own bank accounts, mm-hmm. and so forth.
Now, is there anything New Testament, or is it Old Testament with the religion on that? When you say ministers?
Ministers, they would come from the New Testament. The Hutterites based their communal living on Acts 2 and Acts 4, where they had all things common. Mm-hmm. But that's the way it started out with, loving one another. The way the Hutterites live now, it's a lot about control. It's a lot about the leaders, you want to call them ministers, but whatever they say goes, and it's not according to the Bible anymore. It's the Word of God is secondary to their own traditions and their own beliefs, and that is why we left, to follow 100% Jesus Christ according to the Bible, because we could not do that in the colony.
So the TV show of the Amish Mafia, you smile when I say that, but I've got to bring it up because people are probably, that's all they've seen maybe of what we're talking about here. A lot of that is scripted, though. I mean, that's reality TV, but it's a TV show, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's a... I'd maybe say 10% truth in it, maybe.
But yet they deal with leaving the church, I guess, their family, I guess, in this sense. Do you relate to that at all?
To more the breaking Amish. There's the breaking Amish, then there's the Amish Mafia. Mm-hmm. The breaking Amish, they left, but a lot of it, again, there's a lot of hype surrounding it. They sensationalize a lot of it. It's reality TV, and it's not reality.
Well, it's even for us, if we choose to leave as a Hutterite, if your family doesn't go with you, you have to leave your whole family behind. And it is, like, once you leave, it's pretty much a one-sided relationship, which you can't blame them, because everything is done out of fear, and... I mean, they have to hold back. It's like my dad is the minister of the colony where I'm from. But, I mean, if he'd have a relationship with me and we'd hang out with each other, he would lose his position. And I believe a lot of it is based on fear. And because that's what we went through when we lived there. Like when people left the colony and they came to visit, there was a fear there of actually visiting and talking with them because you were afraid of what other people would think or say.
Now, you call yourself the Nine. There's nine of you. There's four of you that we're talking with. Why do you... group together as nine? You formed your own group, I guess you might say.
We just came together. We ended up at the same place, like the people that took us in to help us. And that brought us all together, but it was all to get help spiritually, emotionally, in every way, to get trained up so that we can actually function in normal society and be successful. So that's how we all came together. But the whole story of how, the details of how we came together is in the book. A lot of people want to know, and it's quite a bit lengthy.
Well, Junia, tell us about your book. You've got two books out now, right?
Yes, we do. And the first one, which is called Hutterites, we each wrote our own chapter, our personal testimonies of how it was in the colony, how we found Jesus, and then about the persecution that we received, and then eventually we left. So we wrote about that in the first one, but in the second one, it's way more detailed even about the Hutterite way of life, but then also it's we write about in a broader sense of any system can start out good with godly principles and a good solid foundation, but that does not mean if it starts out that way that it will always continue like that. And we see that, and we can speak about that because of us. We grew up in Hutterite colony, and that is what we see happened. But we can see it in different churches or religions, and even to the point, if you look at the nation, how this United States was founded, or United States and Canada, but how we've gone away from trusting in the Lord God for our prosperity, but trusting in our own strength to bring about the prosperity and the protection that only comes through God.
A lot of, if you read your history books, most forms of government only last about 300 years. And again, it's mainly because of overregulation and taxes and control. It's a natural cycle, I think, that a lot of things go through. And that's through history way back through the Egyptians and the Greeks and the Romans. And we're at about 270-some years, I think, in America. All of a sudden, people think there's a revolution to change or evolve or, grow or progress to something new. And then it starts all over again, and it gets too, overburdened and too overtaxed and too overregulated and so on and so forth. Now, Jason, Cindy, Glenda, Junia, you're left in your teens. You're pretty young, I should say, right now.
We're in our early 20s for most of us here. We were anywhere from between the ages of 17 and 25 nine. Yeah.
Yeah, and we left 7.5 years ago. It's going to be 8 for some soon, but we left within 6 months of each other.
Now, that's kind of jumping off a cliff. If you grew up in your family in that way of life, that's not so easy. Cindy, you're smiling a little bit about that because that's a big choice to say, I'm going to leave the comfort of my home in my family, and go out on your own.
It is. It's a very big step. And you had, for me, I had to trust God because that's the only way I could have the confidence to do it. And knowing that people supported me, they took me in, they were willing to help me get established, they didn't ask anything from me. And it is as simple as you take that step because you know that's what you have to do for your survival. Because I felt like I was dying inside there and I needed some truth. I needed to get out of that oppression. So it was like a whole new world once I left, and it was with great joy that I did it because I never looked back. But it was a lot of fun to actually step out and stand for what I know in my heart is the truth.
Yeah, and it was one thing to physically leave the colony, but then another thing to, once you're out, to leave behind the legalistic and oppressive mindsets that we had and be free and be with all joy serving the Lord and not the way of man-made traditions, religion, but to hear from the Lord, hear the voice of God, and walk in that. And that is what brought us joy.
Are you shunned by your families now?
Well, especially when you're considered like a, when you get baptized as a Hutterite and then you leave, they don't straight out say it's shunning, but you are shunned. So, like, for us, Cindy, Jason, and I, if we'd go back, we'd have to go through punishment in order to be accepted as a Hutterite again.
But for June and I, our whole family was excommunicated for standing up for their faith in Jesus Christ. So my parents are away from the colony also.
Are you able to talk to them or communicate?
Yeah, they live near Winnipeg.
Do you call them or write to them?
Yeah, I talk with them.
Okay.
Because we both left for the same reasons.
What did they say about your leaving?
Well, I left a little bit before them, but they were already excommunicated, so they knew eventually they would have to leave also. And with the book, a lot of people wonder, like, what did our parents think? At first, it was just kind of just a cold silence, because it's hard for our parents coming out of that oppressive system and to change that whole way of thinking and the mindsets. I mean, my mom still wears the head covering and the dress, so it takes a long time for them to get totally out of it. With us, it helped a lot. We had outside influence that actually those are the people that helped us. It weren't just ex-Hutterites.
Are your marriages arranged in the Hutterite community? Or you can marry in the Hutterite community, but I doubt that they let you marry out of the Hutterite community.
Yeah, you have to marry a Hutterite.
No, they're not arranged, but it is limited to just Hutterites, and then it's limited to certain colonies that you're not allowed to marry from, so there's limitations, but not arranged.
Is that another reason why you left?
No. No, we did not leave because we did not want to wear the dress and the head covering anymore. We thought it's too controlling and too oppressive. It's once we stepped away from the situation is when we actually saw what went on. But like it's been said before, that we all left for the same reasons. We wanted to follow Jesus Christ. And in the colony, we all received Jesus into our heart in the colony. But then you need spiritual help to continue on, and we didn't have that spiritual help. So we had to reach to people on the outside that were willing to help us. That is why we left.
Jason, you're traveling around talking to media. You're promoting your books. You got two books out now. And you put one out, what, last August? And then a new one just coming out now?
Just this month. Our new one came out, and we're very excited about that because, yes, we talk more about Hutterites and continue the Hutterite book to go more detail, more in-depth. But we are also talking, like I think Junia mentioned earlier, about the condition of this nation, even the condition of the churches and what we as individuals can do to change that. And even this book was definitely written also for leaders in all these different capacities. Because I believe every pastor in Sioux Falls should read this book or in the surrounding areas, because it would definitely help, you know, even what do we as a church or the Church of Jesus Christ, how can we all come in agreement? And it has to be according to the Word of God. That is the only thing. We can't come up with our own ideas, our own plans, our own opinions, because what I believe, that doesn't matter. It's only what God, what the truth is. What's reality? What does the Word of God say?
Are you seeing that the country and the politics are getting away from the Founding Fathers aspect? You're shaking your head yes.
Yes, unfortunately, because this country was founded upon Christian principles. And the forefathers in this country, they prayed for God to help them to come up with the laws and the Constitution. And we can definitely see that they had God's wisdom working in them when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, when they wrote laws. But in God we trust. That's on all our money. So, but the question is, do we still trust in God?
And a lot of people, they don't want to talk about the judgment that's coming upon this nation. But if we allow and open up ourselves to every sin and we don't do anything about it, well, God's judgment, and that's because He loves us. That's why He allows His judgment, so that we will turn to Him. But a lot of people, they don't want to hear that.
Well, you've left the Hutterite religion and community. What would you call yourselves now?
We are simply Christians. Yeah. That's it. We meet in a house, and we're a small ministry, but we get invited to a lot of other churches because there's believers everywhere. There's not one particular denomination that has all the answers. Definitely not.
You're traveling all over the country. As people are hearing this, you're actually going to be in Montana. But is it mainly churches that invite you to travel, or is it the book signings and the new book and Barnes and Nobles and all of that, and or the media, or what is your main goal?
We've been able to share our stories in schools and churches, even at universities, and when we have our book signings, like at Barnes and Nobles and any bookstore, we get up and people can come and ask any questions. And we're open. It's like whatever questions people have, we're willing to answer.
But our vision is, like you just asked, is to spread a message of hope. Because there's people out there that the same situation we were in the colony, they're facing the same situation in their workplace, let's say, or in their community. And what got us out of it, it was the same thing that will help them.
Well, if you could talk to a Hutterite community in South Dakota, what would you say to them if they were listening on the radio right now? Or do they have radios? Yeah, they do.
Some do.
They shouldn't, but they do.
Some do. We would just tell them that, I mean, we love the Hutterite people. We love everybody. And we want people to know there is life outside of that system. You don't have to be stuck in doing things a certain way, and it's not according to the Word of God. That salvation is through Jesus Christ and not through a form of or a system of living. It's Jesus Christ is the answer to salvation. And that's what I want everyone to know in the colony, because I wanted somebody to bring it to me, which I praise God, somebody that left the colony came and preached it and shared the God, simple messages of salvation. And that's how I got to hear about salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's what I want for all of them, is that opportunity to know Jesus.
And we're also willing with Hutterites and non-Hutterites to help them to be set free from whatever struggle they might have. We're willing to help them and do whatever it takes.
What are the biggest misconceptions people have about Hutterites?
Well, the first one that comes to mind, people think they're a big, happy community. It's just they're there because of their own free will, because they love one another, and it's a really great place to grow up. Well, for us, it wasn't. We felt very restricted, and people think they're a good Christian community. But really, what we found, we could not serve Jesus Christ as Hutterites. We had to leave in order to follow our conscience, what we saw in the Word of God that Christians are supposed to do.
Do you speak Russian?
No.
Well, you had a little bit of accent there. And most Hutterites do speak another language, don't they?
Yes, they have their own German dialect. Mm-hmm. That's the language they speak on a regular basis.
So getting back to, what are some of the good things about being in the Hutterite community? You grew up there, you seem to be healthy, and you know, you're able to think for yourself and that. You have lofty goals, and you're leading a good life. But what are some of the good things, I guess, that you miss about being when you were in the Hutterite community?
It's not that we really miss all that much, but a lot of people like the Hutterite food. Yes, they did have good food, but out here, we have good food out here too, so.
I guess my family's still back there. I'd say I miss the people. I don't miss the lifestyle. I don't miss much of anything except the people that are still back there, my family and relatives and friends.
On your third book, maybe you could put in some of the Hutterite recipes.
Yeah.
What is different about the Hutterite food that you're talking about there?
Well, a lot of people like their buns and their homegrown chickens and turkeys and their pies, and that's what we hear about everywhere we go, pretty much.
There's nothing that you can't make out here. I mean, we cook a lot of the food, and it's not that different.
Well, okay, so maybe you could start a restaurant that caters to some of that stuff.
We have been told that a lot. We've even been willing to do it. But hey, in God's timing, if he wants us to do it, we would do it.
Well, how many miles do you put on the road on an annual basis right now?
Oh, boy, that's hard to say. But several, it's just thousands upon thousands. I mean, right now, just today, four of the nine left for Saskatchewan and Alberta. So they're doing a lot of book signings out there and a lot of media interviews.
And do you drive a bus or how do you stay in motels or what do you do?
We have cars and we do stay in hotels, yes.
Now, some people would say, well, that gets old after a while, doesn't it, a little bit? Well, do you have some goals of settling down and maybe going other directions?
We are willing to do whatever it takes to spread that message, the message that's in the book. I mean, Glenda could even tell you about, she's been to Liberia, Africa twice this year already. We're willing to go to the ends of the world like Jesus commanded us to in the Bible, to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples.
Well, now you have a home studio. Do you have kind of a home base?
Yes.
Where's
that? Yes, we do. It's up near the Peace Garden border. I don't know if you know of Rolla.
Sure, Raleigh.
Rolla, North Dakota.
North Dakota, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the, I guess, you know, as a group, are you basically starting your own colony in a way?
No, because
we're each individuals. No, we're not starting a colony.
Okay. Now, first of all, I guess maybe Junior, that's such a pretty name.
Thank you.
We were discussing that earlier. What are some, 5 years from now, if you come back and we do this interview again, what do you hope to accomplish in that 5 years?
Well, we hope to be able to help people, and that people will be able to find that hope that is only in Jesus Christ that we have been able to find. And we will, when we see it already happening, what we want to accomplish is that people will be encouraged to stand up and speak the truth. And a lot of people have come to us that have read the book, even ex-Hutterites, and say how they appreciate that book and how it explains the lifestyle, and that they are not able to share, is it with their spouses that aren't Hutterites, that they're not able to explain it clearly, but they're very thankful that we wrote the book, because outside people cannot fully understand that way of life and what people went through. Except through Jesus Christ, we were helped with by people that were non-Hutterites, but that's what we want to accomplish, is to see people be set free and take that courage to stand up and be bold and help other people be set free.
Yeah, to find out what their purpose is in life too, because each individual is here on earth for a specific person.
Purpose,
I mean, to find out what that is and fulfilling it.
Well, your first book is called The Hutterites. Yes. Second book is called Since We Told the Truth. And this is all about, I suppose, the experiences from the book, The Hutterites, I guess. Yes. Now, do you call The Hutterites a sect or a cult?
Sect.
There'd be a sect. We talk about the word cult because we get asked that a lot in the second book. It's a very delicate subject. We let people read the book and read about how we explained it.
How do you define what a sect is?
A sect is basically an offshoot of the whole, of the larger group. Jesus was called a sect. Yeah, many groups are called that, but I look at it more, are they following the teachings of Jesus Christ? Are they following the Bible? Because that is the larger group. Because in Jesus' church, he only has one church. He only has one faith. The Bible says one baptism. We shouldn't have splinter groups. There should only be one.
So you talk in churches. How do you talk to Baptist and Lutheran churches when you go to them?
We should just share the simple gospel message, and actually we get invited to Lutheran churches and to been to all different ones, because I believe there God has a remnant all over the world. There's people that genuinely love Jesus, and they want to serve him. They're going to make it to heaven, and those are the people that we reach out to.
Yeah.
Now, do you hope to have families of your own sometimes?
Well, my wife, I have Cindy and Junie, a sister, is my wife, and we are expecting a baby right now, so we you're our first one.
It won't be so easy to travel then.
I guess
probably not.
So what direction do you think you'll go then? When the kids will slow you down quite a bit.
Slow you down, but I'm sure the Lord has a plan.
And maybe that's why there's nine of us.
Yeah, there's nine of us. So,
well, now tell us a little bit about when you grew up as in the Hutterite communities. Your communities were in Canada. I guess family is important, yes. But like you say, it was too controlled and too regulated. I guess is what you're saying.
Yes, and I think Linda explained it earlier. We didn't leave necessarily because of we didn't like the clothing, we didn't like the traditions. It was more controlling, but not, it wasn't about love. It was that control, but Jesus Christ always, he loves us. It's God's unconditional love that should draw a person so that a person wants to do the right thing. It can never be forced. God never forces anyone to follow him.
So you have a calling.
Yes.
Calling.
Calling.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
And how did that come to you, Junie, I guess? Was it something that you just kind of knew?
Well, it was in the colony. I heard about salvation through Jesus Christ, which I was around 20 years old. And after that, I did receive Jesus into my heart, but I still didn't have the teaching. There was nobody there to teach me how to walk in that, and God's perfect will after that, how to live the Christian life and be victorious. I was miserable as ever even after that. But until I left and we were invited, like some of the girls have shared, to that ministry, they took us in and discipled us and showed us what the word says. But then how to walk it out? How do I live that? How do I become that person? And it was through that I found out, and it was in the first day, I think, that we learned that we have a calling, and my calling is not necessarily what the other girl's calling is, that which was the way we grew up. I didn't have a different calling than all the other women in the colony. But it was pretty much the first day after I left that I found out God has a specific purpose for me, which may be totally different than anybody else.
Linda, if you grew up in the Hutterite community, how did you know what was on the outside world or the other aspects of your beliefs?
You really didn't know what went on the outside. Being outside, like even just going to town, was always a fearful thing, and you felt safe and secure, like going back home into the Hutterite colony. But once it came to maybe around the age of 20 or 21, that's when I received Jesus into my heart. But it's all through outside influence, or it can also be like some of the young people, they accepted Jesus into their heart. So they start sharing with you, and we started searching the truth. We got together, we had Bible studies in English secretly, which the elders and the parents, they really don't like it because they call it a false belief. But we were desperate for the truth. We were desperate for change in our life. So that's why we started to reach out, and we got in contact with people from the outside. Because I left when I was 25. I had no idea about the outside world. I mean, I thought I'd leave and for the rest of my life I'd do what I did in the Hutterite colony, cook and clean and garden. I had no clue that I'll have to pay taxes or have a job. Or I had no idea about any of that stuff. No driver's license.
What, did you even know much English?
Yeah, we have English school, but our main dialect is the Hutterish. So we had, when once we left, okay, we're living with English people, so you can't talk Hutterish anymore. So it was hard, but now talking Hutterish is kind of strange.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. Tell us about your books, where they can get them, and your website, and how they can contact you and ask more questions if they like.
The books are available here in Sioux Falls at Barnes & Noble's and at Crossroads. And our website is www.thenine.com. So it's thenine9.com. And they can get a hold of us on our website. They'll find an email. They can contact us that way, and we'll get back to them. And we love to hear from people, even what the response is to the book.
And to publish a book is quite a project in itself. Is there a third book possibly on the horizon?
It sure could be.
Because when our first book came out, everybody asked, is there a second book? I was like, oh no. So now the second book came out, everybody talks about the third book. So you never know.
Well, it's not a small book. You've got quite a few pages, and I think it'd be interesting for, like you say, even ministers to read this.
Yes.
To give a perspective of some of our Midwestern, North Dakota, South Dakota, Manitoba, from where you're from, of the Hutterite community that a lot of us don't know a whole lot about, and you do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, if you could do anything and wave a magic wand, what would that be?
What would that be? Oh, I'd just to see the love of God, people actually loving one another in this nation, because I believe we've lost that neighbor helping neighbor, and instead it's become each person out on their own. And if we need help, we look to the government for help instead of looking to each other like it used to be in the olden days, before I was born. Even if you read history books, how I believe neighbors used to help each other much more than they do nowadays.
Have you ever thought of running for office?
I would not want to do that. No, I want to share Jesus Christ. So,
all right. Jason, Cindy, Glenda, Junia, tell us the other five of the nine. What are their first names?
Rodney, Darlene, Cheryl, and Titus, and Karen.
You call yourself the nine. You come together as leaving the Hutterite communities for, like we've been talking about in your books, the Hutterites, and that's your story to freedom. And then Since We Told the Truth is all about your experiences since you wrote that first book. Mm. And when's the first babies due?
Early next year.
Well, that'll be another whole chapter in your next book.
Could be.
Jason, Cindy, Glenda, and Junie, want to thank you for being with us on Forum.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.